Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 10 o'clock on the East Coast. And this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. And tonight, we're going to talk about WWE again. And I've got a lot to say tonight. Probably going to take the whole half hour to talk about what I've got to say. I'm probably going to go off on a couple of tangents, but that's okay. First of all, we're going to start with a quick rundown of Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw kicked off with a Kurt Angle promo, which was very promptly interrupted by The Shield, who came out in the vintage Shield gear with the vintage Shield music. And it was announced that later in the night, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins would take on Sheamus and Cesaro in a tag team championship match, and Roman Reigns would take on Braun Strowman in a steel cage match. But before either of those matches could happen, the six-man tag team match occurred that saw Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil, and Jason Jordan defeat Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, and Elias. Now, this is probably where I'm going to go off on my longest tangent of the show, so bear with me. All six people in this match are being grossly misused, and it's actually bordering on criminal. You've got international superstars Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, who were huge superstars in Japan. They've been in WWE a little over a year now, maybe a year and a half. They've had one championship. And as of late, I have noticed that when Gallows and Anderson lose, always Carl Anderson taking the pin. It is almost always Carl Anderson taking the pin. Last week it was actually Luke Gallows who took the pin against Matt Hardy and Jason Jordan. A team that really Gallows and Anderson should have beat. But you look at all six people in this tag team match. Titus O'Neil has been around forever, I believe 6 or 7 years now. And he's held the tag team titles one time. Apollo Crews, former United States champion, I believe. Extremely talented guy. Extremely talented. And Jason Jordan, creative did him a major disservice by coming up with the whole Kurt Angle's illegitimate son storyline. and roping him into it, because he is super talented. He's probably one of the top five most talented guys on the entire roster. And he's just being horribly misused in this Kurt Angle storyline. But I want to get back to Anderson and Gallows. And I believe their only recourse is either a big push, get back into the Raw tag team title picture, which I would love to see Ambrose and Rollins versus Gallows and Anderson. I would also like to see, now this would require Finn Balor turning heel, which is something I'm going to get. Finn Balor is something I'm going to get to later, or in a few minutes. I would like to see Finn Balor, Luke Gallows, and Karl Anderson take on the Shield. Those are feuds that not only would I like to see them, I think the majority of the WWE Universe would like to see them. And not just for the Shield nostalgia kick, because I think they would actually be very, very good feuds. Or it would be a very good feud. But honestly, if Gallows and Anderson don't get a huge push soon, I think they should do what several superstars seem to be doing. Ask out of their contracts. Go back to Japan. Go on the independent circuit. Be bigger than what you are right now. Because everybody knows, look at Cody Rhodes. Right now, Cody is, I'm gonna say king of the world, basically. As far as professional wrestling goes, Cody is king. He's the Ring of Honor world champion. He just signed an exclusive contract, which took him over a year to do, but you know what? More power to him. Cody Rhodes did things right, and he's reaping the benefits of it right now. There's honestly a ton of WWE superstars that I believe would benefit from leaving WWE, going out on the independent circuit, and making more money and having a lot more success than they're having right now. And as a tangent off of that subject, I do want to say that I'm actually impressed with the way the WWE Creative has repackaged Luke Harper and Eric Rowan as the Bludgeon Brothers. They look like a couple of Vikings, which Vikings are somewhat hot right now. You get the History Channel TV show, and I mean, Game of Thrones is huge. I don't know if there's a lot of Vikings on Game of Thrones. I actually don't watch Game of Thrones. But Vikings are kind of big right now. Packaging Harper and Rowan as a couple of Vikings, calling themselves the Bludgeon Brothers, maybe not the worst move in the world for them. And now let's go ahead and get into what happened on. Oh, let's go back to Monday Night Raw. Steel cage match. We'll talk about the tag team title match first. Tag team title match. Ambrose and Rollins successfully defended against Sheamus and Cesaro. Nothing big really happened there. Roman versus Braun Strowman in a steel cage match. Everybody was supposed to be banned from ringside in those two matches. Of course, whenever anybody's banned from ringside, somebody always shows up. Sheamus and Cesaro attempted to get in the cage to distract Roman. Rollins and Ambrose came out, took them out. The lights turned red. Kane's music played, and Kane came up through the ring, much like he did when he made his debut all the way back in 1997. And after two power slams from Braun Strowman and two choke slams and a tombstone from Kane, Braun Strowman defeated Roman Reigns, and a match that would have been 3-on-3 had Braun Strowman lost became 5-on-3 with Braun Strowman winning, and the match is The Shield, of course, Reigns, Rollins, and Ambrose versus the team of The Miz, Sheamus, Cesaro, Braun Strowman, Kane. Now, a lot of people have brought this up, and it's a valid point. Kane was drafted to SmackDown. So how he got to be on Monday Night Raw, that's a bit questionable, but I'm sure there's going to be an explanation given for that in the future. And also, there's an element of this possibly being a revenge angle. Kane being angry that Roman Reigns retired Kane's half-brother, The Undertaker, at WrestleMania. Which, by the way, I don't personally think The Undertaker is done. I think he's got at least one more match in him. And I think that match will be at next year's WrestleMania against John Cena. And I think that's where he will officially retire and that will be the end. I believe he's going to have John Cena be the one to end his long and storied career by the time next year WrestleMania comes around. We'll be talking almost 28 years in WWE, and I believe 32, 33 years overall, because I know he wrestled for a few years before he came to WWE in Memphis and Atlanta and Texas. Back when we had what was known as the territories. I know some people may not be old enough to remember those days. Fortunately, I am. But now, let's go on to SmackDown Live. SmackDown Live was in Seattle, Washington tonight. So, of course, Daniel Bryan comes out wearing a flannel shirt in the blue and green of the Seattle Seahawks. Calls out Sami Zayn, who he expresses his disappointment in. Says that he sees a lot of himself in Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn starts to tell a promo praising Daniel Bryan, saying how he looked up to Daniel Bryan when they both were on the independent circuit together. Said they'd known each other for 13 years. And then the insults started to come. He said that he is much better than Daniel Bryan, especially now. And then Kevin Owens comes out, and it's more of the same. Run down Daniel Bryan. So Daniel Bryan leaves ringside. Goes to the back, says he's going to find two guys that want to punch Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in the face. Later on in the evening, there's a backstage segment where Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn ask if Daniel Bryan found two people who wanted to punch Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in the face. He says, no, he found a lot more than that. Like everybody. But he said he narrowed it down to two. Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura. So that match was made for later on in the evening, which turned out to be the main event. First match was a six-woman tag team match. Natalya, Tamina, and Lana versus Charlotte, Becky, and Naomi. That match ended when Lana tapped to the figure eight in what was actually a really good match. To Baron Corbin versus Sin Cara in a non-title match. Sin Cara ended up actually winning that match by count out. And honestly, Sin Cara was the only one to get any offense in that match. He knocked Baron Corbin silly on the outside, which caused the count-out win. Match number three was a Hell in a Cell rematch between Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode in a very similar styled match to their Hell in a Cell match. It was a very good match, and Dolph Ziggler won with a handful of tights, similar to how Bobby Roode beat Dolph Ziggler the first time they faced each other. And then the main event, yes, there were only four matches on SmackDown tonight. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Randy Orton. In what was a very good tag team match, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens defeated Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura after Sami Zayn low-blowed Orton while the ref's back was turned and hit the Helluva kick in the corner. For the 1-2-3, And then Sammy and Kevin Owens go back to the back to celebrate, tell Daniel Bryan that his plan backfired, ask Daniel Bryan what he was going to do to him next week, where Daniel Bryan said it's not up to him, it's up to Shane McMahon, insinuating that Shane McMahon will be returning next week to deal with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And in the worst, best promo I've ever seen, this was prior to the main event. This was about halfway through the show. Jinder Mahal came out, said he's beaten everybody that mattered on SmackDown. He's beaten Randy Orton multiple times. He's beaten Shinsuke Nakamura several times. So he's going to do what anybody else would do. He's going to move on to Raw Superstars. Unfortunately, he's not moving to Raw himself, which would probably mean vacating the title, which I think a lot of people would be happy if that happened. But he's challenging a Raw superstar to a match. And that Raw superstar is none other than the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar. Now, personal feelings aside about Brock Lesnar, time champion, I hope Brock absolutely destroys Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal is probably one of the most useless champions in history. I mean, I get the whole India angle, even though Jinder Mahal is of Indian descent. He's not actually from India. He's from Canada. But I get that whole angle. But you could put the Cruiserweight Championship on one of the Singh brothers. A, it would be better than having it on Enzo Amore. And B, they're both more talented than Jinder Mahal. So, yeah. That's just, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get why they're pushing Jinder Mahal to be this super godlike. It's almost like they want him to be the next John Cena, and the only thing he has in common with John Cena is the amount of booze he gets. So, I mean, that's just, Jinder Mahal is not a good champion, not a good wrestler. He's just not good. They need to move on from this experiment. But at the end of his promo, AJ Styles came out because the person that Jinder Mahal did not mention beating was AJ Styles. And that's because Jinder Mahal has never beaten AJ Styles. I'm not sure that Jinder Mahal has ever faced AJ Styles, to be honest. And so that set up AJ challenging Jinder Mahal for next week, and Jinder Mahal throwing one of the Singh brothers to the wolves, so to speak. but I believe we will see Jinder Mahal versus AJ Styles sometime before Survivor Series, hopefully. And maybe we won't have to worry about seeing Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal. But that's my opinions. That's my take on everything that happened this week on Raw and SmackDown. I think TLC is going to be interesting. You've got the 5-on-3 handicap TLC match. You've got the Women's Championship, Mickie James versus Alexa Bliss. You've got main roster debut of Asuka, where she takes on Emma. And you've got Cruiserweight Championship match, Enzo Amore against Kalisto. And let's talk about the Kalisto promo box for a minute. When Kalisto was cutting his promo last night, he said he would walk in to, or he would walk out of Tables, Ladders, and Chairs as the new Cruiserweight Champion. Brother, you're already the Cruiserweight Champion. You can't walk in, you can't walk out, you can't walk in the Cruiserweight Champion and walk the new Cruiserweight Champion. But anyway, my thoughts, my opinions on Raw, SmackDown, and TLC. I didn't cover everything, but you know what? That's all right. Not everything was important enough to cover. But be sure to tune in next week when my co-host, Miss Callie, will be interviewing Ricky Cardinal, NWF Superstar. So, good night, everybody.